gang, welcome to another episode of Backlog Barbecue. This is episode 4. This is Alex, joined by Ted and Ari. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Yep, we had a little bit of a break last week because of emergency. Thankfully, that was kind of taken care of pretty swiftly. But how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. I availed myself of Best Buy sale this week and ruined my backlog.
Ooh. Like, what did you get?
I picked up Wolfenstein Genre Order.
Oh, PC or PS4?
Yes, you know, it was even cheaper on PC during the Steam sale, but I ended up not getting it on Steam because for the first time, I was afraid my computer wouldn't be able to run it.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's hit that point now, so I'm a little concerned.
That means you got to upgrade.
My PC is such that I would have to redo my entire rig if I wanted to upgrade.
Really? So you can't just, like, swap out your motherboard and get a new...
If I swap out my motherboard, I'll need to swap out my CPU and possibly swap out my RAM, and the only thing I could save would be the video card.
Hmm.
And that's the one thing that I want to upgrade, but I'm waiting for the 800 series NVIDIA cards.
And I'm an ATI guy, or AMD, as it were. I don't know why I am, but I am.
Yeah. Okay, well, did you play it?
No. No.
Oh, man. Okay. Anything else?
I also, I picked up a PlayStation Gold headset. Now, I already have the Pulse. So why are you asking, did I pick up the Gold? I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't like my Triton AX720s for reasons that are completely lazy as hell. In fact, Ari is going to be receiving my AX720.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it. I don't like it, honestly, because it has a wire.
Mm-hmm.
that's really, wow. That's really it.
Interesting.
Well, that works for me.
Yeah.
I like it. The controls are... It's clearly lower build quality, but the sound is pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does it have, like, positional audio like the Triton?
Yep, 7.1.
Mm, interesting.
And it's on sale for $70.
That's not bad. What's the retail price for that usually?
100.
Oh. Still not bad for a headset, considering it's like 7.1. Oh, yeah. How does it hook up? Is it like HDMI or...
Wireless. It uses a little dongle you just plug into your PS3 or PS4, just like the Pulse.
Uh-huh.
And then that's basically it.
Does it hook up like via USB or optical?
It's a USB dongle. That's it. It is not hook up.
Ah, okay.
With the PlayStation, there's firmware already installed on your PlayStation that was installed with a previous firmware update.
Mm.
If you keep your PS4 or PS3 up to date, you're already taken care of.
Nice.
So you
just basically need to switch the dongle from the PS3 to PS4 and you're good to go?
Oh, no, it has a separate dongle.
Oh.
Oh, no, I mean, I have one dongle plugged into my PS4 and one plugged into my PS3.
It comes with both of those?
No, it's one dongle.
Oh.
But I have two different wireless headsets of a similar style.
Ah, interesting.
Yes.
So the driver is just really for the receiver and all that stuff.
I guess it's already built in.
Okay.
So I don't want to spend too much time about it. So it's cool. Okay. It's worth it. There you go.
All right. Ari,
I just bought something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like a minute ago, like I saw this Kotaku article about some game about a mountain that talks, and that was enough for me, so I bought it.
Wow.
I don't even know what that is, but that sounds pretty cool.
It's called Mountain. And I turned it on right before we started this call, and it said sadness, and there was a big blank screen.
What?
And it said sadness, and there was a blank screen. So, and then it said hint, draw something.
What?
But what? I felt too sad, so I turned it off.
What? I have to buy this video game.
See,
oh my god!
I remember succinctly, like about maybe a year or so ago, when we still had those geeks, you know, that you found a little bit like, you know, insulting that I wanted you to be like the indie game like kind of consultant, and you're like out of, I think, Ted and me and you, like you've probably played the most indie games out of the three of us.
I don't know about insulting. I've always been on board with indies.
Well, you said something along the lines like, I don't want to just cover that kind of stuff. Like,
well, maybe not exclusively.
Yeah.
But I've always enjoyed indie games, and especially the more creative ones. But yeah, this one is available for only 99 cents. I think if you Google Mountain Game, you'll find it pretty quick. And it's available on PC, Mac, Linux, and iPhone, iPad.
Is it on Steam or something? Or just
it's not on Steam. It's DRM free.
Verge has an article calling it a mountain simulator.
Yes. I haven't gotten to that point because I was afraid to start drawing badness.
How do you draw?
Mouse?
With the mouse.
Oh.
I launched it one more time just to see what it would do, and instead of saying sadness, it said God. I'm assuming once I draw something, I'll end up with a mountain, but in any case, I'll find out later, because this is just too mysterious to
this
to
sounds not pretentious as shit.
Thought process into. I mean, if it makes sense, I'll give it a shot.
I'm very wary of pretentiousness. Like I said, I consider Braid pretentious, and a lot of people love Braid, so.
Yeah.
Well, what cracks me up is the feature list. The first bullet point says no controls.
That's kind of like what I'm kind of scared about with a lot of these indie games is because they're becoming a little bit more brazen when it comes to their like description. Sure, like it's, you know, 99 cents, but even then it's like, you know, like it's the curiosity kid could harm your wallet when it comes to like indie titles, and I think that kind of does a little bit of a disservice.
Oh yeah, we're spending all our money on indie games.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like what's happening with the PC market. That's what everybody's spending their money on.
But the PC market's basically a race to the bottom at this point.
Yeah.
The fourth bullet point says time moves forward.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Wait a sec here.
The sixth says nature expresses itself.
Ted, this is the definition of pretentious.
Oh God. I'm feeling things. I don't know how to feel.
Well, anyway, of the user reviews that I saw and the brief article I saw in Kotaku, a lot of people really enjoy this, so I figured it was worth a shot for a buck.
Sure.
We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll report back next week.
Okay. That's nice. I guess. John, I don't know.
Mountain Simulator. Relax 'em up. Art horror, etc.
Okay, relax 'em up. That's great. That's great. Everything else, I don't know.
Oh, man. So, okay. Other than that, you're playing anything else? I mean, you're playing Hearthstone, right? I mean, let's cut to the chase here.
I'm definitely periodically playing Hearthstone just to save up coins to buy the expansion content.
Did you log in today to get your sweet rainbow cards?
I did. And I did.
And I
also played, like, I didn't have a lot of time to play anything this week just because, you know, Lyft, Uber, mm-hmm. busy.
Yeah, you've been busy with that, huh?
Get that money.
Yeah. But pay's great, so I'm pretty happy about that. But I just haven't had time to play. But while I was getting my tires replaced today, I played a bit of Bad Hotel on my Android.
Mm-hmm. I've tried that. I still don't understand it, and I've played probably more than you.
Well, it's probably the most accurately described. If you were to call it a tower defense game, it would be a very accurate description, despite the fact that...
If you put it that way, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Because you're literally building a tower, and the tower is made up of blocks that generate money or shoot bullets.
Yeah.
And then things try to destroy the tower. So you have to literally defend the tower.
I just decided when I build a room in a bad place, or I don't like the aesthetics, I just let it die, you know? Nature. Yeah. Nature takes its course.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a bit of Threes, which is that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got to a new level in Threes. I got to 768.
768? I think that's about as far as I've gotten, though I didn't do that today. But every time I play this game, I just feel like I'm just going through the process of playing the game without really doing or knowing or caring how it actually ends up. Like, I don't feel like it's a game that I'm getting better at.
Huh.
It's just I play it until I inevitably lose without really understanding what I could have done better. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to be playing Threes.
Yeah.
Threes is just something you just dive into, and it's there, and it's like, all right, this is cool. I'm playing Threes.
Yeah. I can't believe that it's coming to Xbox One.
That seems like a waste.
That seems... Well, you can snap it. I guess that's the feature you can use Snap with. Yay. I don't know.
I can watch TV and play Threes. Oh, wait, I can do that anyway on my phone and then looking up at the TV.
I know, right? Just as useful as the Wii U gamepad?
But does it have Kinect support?
I don't think Threes has Kinect support either. What are you going to do? Xbox, up. Xbox,
all you gotta
down.
Do is wave. Wave left, wave right, wave up, wave down. That's all. It would actually be very easy.
That would be awful. Yeah, although it is pretty easy, you're right.
Speaking of, if you want to add to your backlog, if you're an Xbox Live Gold member, Guacamelee's free on Xbox One.
The newest version, to be
clear. Guacamelee Super Turbo Edition.
Yeah.
It's also available on other platforms, including Wii U, if you don't have an Xbox One. But free is free, so...
Yeah. It's a pretty good game. I know I finished the original one, but, you know, kind of... You know, conveniently, you know... Not written a review on it. it went by fast. Like, it was like a less than a 10-hour game, and I'm like, oh, it's done already. All right. But, I mean, the combo system's pretty fun, you know? Like, I don't know what kind of stuff they added to it, but, you know, definitely free is free, like what Ted said.
I'm mad because they had Strider for half off on the Xbox, and it's like, all right, great deal. A couple days later, they announced it's going to be free on PlayStation. I said, why do I do anything?
Why do I buy anything on these services, damn it?
Yeah, I mean, Muramasa, remember 1 year ago, we actually went to E3 and saw that?
Mm-hmm.
We now played it's $0.
It. Yep. I'm kind of happy about that.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
You can spend $50 a year and still have too much on your backlog. It's the worst.
It is the worst. Speaking of which... Well, I mean, I don't want to keep, like, bouncing around and stuff like that. So, I mean, Ted, what have you been playing other than Hearthstone?
I dove into my backlog, and I played a game I picked up on the Vita not too long ago because it was, 50% off, and that was Sorcery Saga, Curse of the Great Curry God.
Mm.
How was that?
Very roguelike. I mean, I know that's the point, but it feels like more roguelike than one would expect, if that makes any sense.
I'm unfamiliar with roguelike, so this is more like, you know, a discussion between you two. So I'm
roguelike is basically this genre where it usually features permadeath, and in a traditional roguelike, it's an RPG where you're moving a character around on a grid type board where everything moves when you move, and you try to not die.
That is basically the game. Some features of this include you don't die permadeath, but you lose everything you had in inventory, which is why you're encouraged to bank things before you go on your journeys. You can carry, like, very small amounts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everything you pick up could kill you, you know, or help you or hurt you. You know, you're basically in real trouble.
Yeah.
Are you playing this on Steam?
No, it's only available on Vita. I thought it'd be the perfect Vita game, and it kind of is.
I mean, how did you get it? Was it PlayStation Plus, or did you buy it? Or
no, there was a PlayStation Plus sale, but even without Plus, it was cheaper.
Huh. Wait, without Plus, it was cheaper?
And it was on sale, but it was on more sale for PlayStation Plus. My words are bad.
Got it. Okay.
So, should we play it?
It is... I'm still figuring that out. I feel like there's a lot to the game that I'm not understanding. Given its name, Curse of the Great Curry God, one of the things you can do is take ingredients and make some curry, and it gives you stat buffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool, I guess, but...
But is it tied to an obscure dating sim like Azure Dreams?
Nope.
Meh, pass.
Although, there are lowly... There's this one lowly bait character who took off all her clothes above her waist, unwrapped a tire tread, and wrapped it around her torso, and uses that as clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Oh man, this game is just, I mean, I think I've seen a preview for this game, but it's like,
yeah, it sounds really familiar.
Yeah, it's just I can't put a finger on it, like, and I don't want to search for it because it's like, but I guess we'll know, like, if this sits in your backlog, like, in about a week or so.
Oh, that might be
I saw you playing Pinball Arcade and a couple of other games this weekend.
Yeah, I was actually hunting down some trophies in those. I finally figured out that years ago, in fact, it was 6.5 years ago, Zen Pinball released the Street Fighter table.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I figured out how to actually play it.
Oh.
Basically, you're supposed to hit the ramps in certain combos. Mm. And if you do the right combo, you can activate a fight. So I went 6.5 years without knowing that.
Oh, wow.
And I succeeded in getting the trophy on... It's that table's not available on PS4, but it is on PS3 and Vita.
Interesting.
I keep collecting pinball tables on PC that I never play.
Well, the Steam sale had them, every single one of them, half off, right?
Yeah, and you know, I bought the ones they didn't have. But I mean, to this day, I've put what? Let me find out. I've put exactly 118 minutes into Pinball FX 2, so this is despite buying every single damn table it's got.
I own every table, and I still have some I didn't play. I played Avengers for the first time. That's fun.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you get to pick different. You can pick the Captain America pinball, mm-hmm, or the Hulk pinball, and they have different capabilities.
Interesting.
I should really play the Deadpool one. It looks fun.
I did. That is funny because there's a pinball. Deadpool will sometimes play a pinball game while you are playing pinball.
What?
Sounds like something that would, yeah, that
Deadpool would actually do. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So, anything else before we move on?
I think that's really it.
Okay. Well,
what have you been playing, Alex?
No, let's save that for after you. Because, I mean,
we've already gone through all of mine.
Are you sure? I just kind of like glanced over like Hearthstone, and I'm kind of like, you know, sad that you're not talking about that.
Well, Hearthstone has just been I don't know, every 3 days I log in, play through the quests, and then I come back 3 days later. It's been pretty much just building up coins so that I can afford the expansion pack content that's coming out this summer. So there was supposed to be an announcement today about pricing, but it never came, though by the time this is released, who knows. But they haven't announced the pricing yet. So at this point, I'm just stockpiling gold. There's really not much more to say.
Yeah, I mean, well, they've said as much that it's going to come out in July, right?
Yeah, they said
this summer
was what they were aiming for.
I got another legendary.
But that's great.
Did you pay for it?
No, I crafted it.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, I have yet to ever have enough dust to craft anything that big.
Oh, jeez.
I disenchanted a golden legendary.
Oh, that'll do it. That's a one-for-one trade, then.
It is. It is a one-for-one trade. Mm. But you don't have the... you don't have the swagger saying, I'm going to keep a gold legendary in my deck because I'm that much of an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that means you got a gold legendary.
Yeah, I did.
Loathed.
So yeah, I mean, that's all I can really say about Hearthstone. And I haven't been able to put much time into Saints Row 4 either because I've been busy. So I just really don't have that much to say about games this week because I haven't played much.
Yeah, you've been working a lot, so that's pretty understandable.
Yeah, the rideshare game is going great.
Yeah. Working one faction over the other. Great.
Yeah.
Good job.
What was the deal with that law they just passed that's going to make it harder for Uber in Los Angeles?
Oh... we really want to talk about legal battles about ride sharing right now. The most interesting thing?
I do. Are you kidding? I love this stuff.
Well, basically, the short version is that we now have to wear trade dress on our vehicles when we go to the airport.
Wait, really?
Well, that's better than getting pulled over at the airport.
Yeah, a bunch of people got impounded.
Both
on Uber and Lyft. So the rule is now that we can go to the top level of LAX for dropping off passengers. And there's a very, very gray area about whether or not we're allowed to pick up passengers on the top level. We're definitely not allowed to do it on the bottom level, which, of course, makes no sense because that's where passengers are going to be sending their requests from. So, yeah, it's a big pain in the ass right now.
Do you avoid the airport as a result of this?
I always avoid the airport just because. But inevitably, you'll have passengers that need to be dropped off there no matter where I'm working. So I'm okay with that. But from now on, when I go to the airport, I have to be sure to put up some trade dress, which in the case of Uber is a big U. And in the case of Lyft, it's the mustache.
Mm, interesting. Okay. But that's actually a law that's in effect right now.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. From what I understand, there's still more stuff pending in this whole argument. So
okay. Well,
I just realized that you can make mustache ride jokes with Lyft. It took me several months to figure this out.
I just don't want to draw aggro from the taxis.
I just figured this out 20 seconds ago, that Lyft with the mustache, it's like a mustache ride joke.
Okay. Nice segue into something.
Okay, so that's what I've been playing.
Yep. I mean, okay, well... I mean, this pretty much segues into, like, what I want to talk about, which is obviously what? Come on, you guys
Final
can guess
Fantasy
this.
Fantasy 4
Come
on. Realm Reborn.
No, actually, Infamous Second Son.
What? Oh,
I got it again.
Oh, good.
So after,
before you sell it again, can you sell it to me?
Well, I'll let you borrow it if you actually will play it.
I want to play it. I haven't had an actual game to play on my PS4 yet, aside from Rezogun, so...
Well, if you stream it, I will let you borrow it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. How about stream it?
Yeah, that's one thing that we're kind of doing new in Game Horizon. We're starting to stream a lot of stuff now, so we'll start posting information about that on the website probably in the next week or so. That'll be exciting.
Does that mean I can't be completionist because it'll be too boring?
No.
No?
The whole...
People love people who struggle and fail.
No. I mean, I guess like the example that the perfect example of like why streaming, I think, is pretty important is the scenario when Ted was watching my gameplay of Final Fantasy 14. It's pretty much like sold him the game, you know, like people can ask you questions about the game and stuff. They can type questions. They can show, you know, you can show people like, yeah, you can do this, you can do that and stuff. This is what I don't like about this. It has like a very immediate feel to it. So that way they'll be like, all right, I'm going to buy it, you know. And half of the time, a lot of those people have pretty much decided anyway that they want the game. So they just want a little bit more of a validation from somebody, in this case, probably you, that they want the game. So, you know, not too bad. It's
Well, in this case, I already have the game. In fact, I've bought it twice.
Wait. Which one?
Final Fantasy 14 and Realm Reborn.
Oh, that. Well, I was still talking about like Infamous, but okay.
That's okay. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. Well, it was I kind of got curious about it and I said, "Okay, you know what? I'm going to give it another chance." And then like, you know, and then I finally got past the part that I was, and I guess my mistake was I was trying to play it like a shooter, you know, like using cover. And all of a sudden, like, I realized, wait a second, I'm on a rooftop with a bunch of soldiers that can just jump to my exact location. Why don't I just take advantage of that dumbass AI so that when they actually jump over here, I just kick the shit out of them. And then there you go. And lo and behold, I basically passed that part and the game is still pretty boring as shit.
Ooh.
Even with the neon power up that Sean was like hyping up, like I was like, all right, well, this is great.
Is this because you're coming from Saints Row 4?
It is. I mean, if you look at, you know, if I lend you the game and you're playing like Saints Row 4 now, you'd be like, man, I wish I can do this. I wish I can do that. And you feel so much more helpless because you're not the character of Saints Row 4.
You know, the problem with Saints Row 4 is your character is like invincible.
Yeah, practically.
I mean, what is actually? I mean, you can get shot literally hundreds of times in a battle, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well,
all you have to do is run up to somebody, punch them, they'll spawn a little health icon, and you'll be back to full or whatever. So it's like there's really no challenge whatsoever in Saints 4.
Yeah. Well, it's. I guess it's a difference in like viewpoint. I mean, considering that you know, I see, super, you know, games with superpowers as kind of like, you know, kind of power fantasy kind of games. And you know, Infamous Second Son, you do have powers, but you don't have power, if you know what I mean. It's like you're very fallible.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, like, you know, like it still has the same tropes of like when you're trying to get up, you can still get shot and get damage.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, that's just fucking cheap as shit. It's like you're trying to get up, dude. Like, you know, like if somebody just runs up to you and like, you know, fucking jumps at you and like shoots a rocket launcher in your location, you're fucking toast. And that's, you know, not to say that that's happened to me, it's just, you know, it just kind of is ridiculous. But yeah, I don't know, maybe you'll like it when you borrow it. So
yeah, I mean, if it's, I'm probably gonna welcome the challenge if coming from Saints 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
Saints 4 is just way too easy. It's fun, but it's super easy.
I'll be honest, like I played Saints Row 4 with like, you know, like the hardest difficulty and finished the game.
Yeah,
it was pretty easy. But going back to 14, I was going to ask you about this, Ted. Would you be interested in going to the fan festival?
I saw that. I got an email today talking about advance tickets. It's a little pricey, but it's far enough away that I can think about it.
Yeah, because I mean, we get like early ticket access like around next week, like on the 8th. So, I mean, I'm, you know, it is far enough away and I'm kind of thinking
I'm going to have vacation days. I'm not going to know what to do with. So,
yeah. And I was just kind of thinking like, well, it's 17, 18 and 19. That's like, that's pretty much like a weekend in Vegas. I'm willing to do it if you are.
I think I could do it.
Yeah.
You can carpool because I don't want to take two cars. Well, Vegas is hot.
Well, yeah, my car doesn't take a lot of gas anyway, so I'm thinking we should go. I'm also going to inquire to see like if we can get some press passes, so maybe we can make it cheap, even cheaper. as in free. So I'll definitely like think about it. So so on 14 though, like I am doing my Atma grind, and what that is a stupid random number generator drop that happens in 12 different zones, and the only way that you can trigger a drop is by doing fates multiple times in those zones. Yeah, it is boring as shit. And I just started it today, and I've gone through like, oh, maybe like 3 different zones in about the past 3 hours. Not a single Atma drop.
I could tell you something that was more boring in an MMO.
What?
Trying to get a Druid shield in EverQuest at level 30 off a monster that spawns once every 8 hours. That's camped by multiple people that may not drop the item.
Well, I mean, okay, you're basically comparing like an age old, pretty much relic, you know, compared to like a game that has like modern standards. So, I mean, it's probably not as bad as EverQuest.
All I'm saying is, at least you're running around fighting stuff and not just sitting on a little hill for 8 hours.
Might as well, because you're just kind of spamming a bunch of buttons and stuff, moving from one to another. I mean, yeah. I guess, but you know, I'm all decked out in like one of the most powerful weapons in the game. And then with, like, armor that can, you know, that's just your typical level 50 armor, I'm still, like, beating the shit out of, like, all these mobs. It's, like, it really isn't any challenge. But, I mean...
Is there still fun stuff for you to do at that level?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Like, okay, putting the Zodiac weapon quest, which is that whole thing, you basically, like, you get something called a Zenith version of your weapon, and then you activate the Zodiac quest line. And it's supposed to be one of the most difficult quest lines in the entire game. Difficult in that it's very time consuming. My friend Brandon, he joined Final Fantasy 14 last year. He's only gotten 3 of the Atma stones ever since like he started.
Wow.
So, and you got to get 12. So, yeah. And that's just for one job. Imagine if you have to do that for all your jobs.
Now, how many jobs are there now?
Well, there's Gladiator, there's Warrior, there's Paladin, there's Bard, there's Black Mage, White Mage, Dragoon. I think I got all of it, right? No, Scholar, Summoner, Monk.
They're adding ninjas.
Yeah, Monk, and then ninjas in about 3 months. So
like 10 or 11?
Something like that.
Yeesh.
Yeah. But right now I'm just focusing my Bard, and you know, like I just started Atma grind, and there's a bunch of like really hokey theories online saying that, oh yeah, well the random drop rate is based off of the local time on your client, and I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And
that's some Phantasy Star Online thinking right there.
Yeah, the Japanese quote unquote figured out this theory. It's yet to be proven right as far as I'm concerned. I'm kind of guessing it might be Japanese standard time, but I'm not quite sure. So wish me luck on that. But there's definitely a lot to do. The Binding Coils of Bahamut, which is practically the raid in the game, even though it's 8 players, that's, you know, what you could do at level 50. There's also the Crystal Tower, which is an actual 24-man raid. There's your extreme modes for all the trials. And then there's the storyline, which continues, which... That's something that I finished recently, too. I am done with the storyline from the beginning of the game all the way up to patch 2.2. So that's done.
But in patch 2.3, there's going to be more story. And yes. The princess runs at you, and her eyes are crying. I saw the trailer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so that's that. I mean, Ted, how far are you in it? I mean, you're leveling all of your crafting shit to 50.
I did my first dungeon where everyone was an idiot.
Oh.
And it was the first dungeon I failed because everyone was stupid and dumb.
Wow. They were really all new? Like, they're...
No, but the DPS hit my target, except he hit his target. That wasn't my target. And the healer was overhealing, so both the healer and the DPS were drawing different kinds of aggro. And I'm not Jesus. You know? You know, they have that thing that lets you grab AoE a threat, but it doesn't do that much. And if you're, like, overhealing me... Oh, and then you're fighting the boss, and one of the things is the boss applies poison, and the healer was not curing my poison.
Wow.
And so we did not succeed. And then the next group, it's like, no problem, no problem, no problem, we're done.
Yeah, that usually happens. But
And they kicked me out like I was the problem. Like, I'm sorry, you're the ones that belong in Kitty Rape Prison.
Wow. But are you... You're clipping your nose hairs again, are you?
No, I'm running that thing that like is a brush, and it smells like my guinea pigs.
Ah, interesting.
It smells nice.
And you just discovered that you have like an agrometer.
Was that in the game from the very beginning?
Yes.
Yes.
Like the thing that those little white bars. I mean, holy crap! That would have been neat to know earlier.
Yeah. Not only that, right beside those white bars, there's like, you know, little indicators. It says A234567.
A means you've got the aggro, and then 234 means just because you have more bars than the other person doesn't mean you have aggro. You have to do like something else to get the aggro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So you're still having fun? Hopefully.
It's never not fun. I mean, sometimes I'll log in and just do some of the flame crafting quests to get some seals and get some easy levels up on my jobs. But sometimes I just want to run through and...
Yeah. And that's kind of the beauty of this game is, like, there's so much to do. And especially when you get to, like, 50, there's so much crap to do.
I haven't even done a PvP yet.
Yeah. And that's opened on your level, so...
Yeah, I could go do it right now.
And there's going to be new PvP next week, which is Frontlines. That's their world PvP. That'll be based off of your grand company. So that'll be interesting. And then 2.4, we get ninjas and Shiva and the rogues. And
I'm still planning on playing. I just don't know when.
The PS4 version's on sale at Best Buy.
Is it?
I have it on PC twice. But yeah.
You got it on Steam, I take it?
No. I bought the original
Final Fantasy
way back when, and then I bought the new one too, even though I didn't need to because I had the old one.
Yeah, in fact, if you have the old one, they like give you like all kinds of perks. Like you pay a lower monthly fee, for Christ's sake.
Well, that's if you were a paying subscriber for the original for at least like 3 months.
Yeah, which, the beta said maybe.
Play it. Yeah. Aw. All right, well, that's all I've been playing. I mean, I just, you know, other than that, I've been streaming it a lot. You know, people who are subscribed to our Twitter account, like, probably have seen, like, oh, wow, they're streaming shit. What? And it's, like, Final Fantasy 14. Oh, and they'd be like, oh, and it's Alex. Typically him. So, nothing new. But I will, I'm into streaming it because I do want more people to play it because it's a really fun game. And I'm doing this little experiment right now where I joined a Japanese server to try to meet Japanese people, and so far I met one.
That would talk to you?
Yeah. We actually had a long conversation.
Because you meet people, but whether they talk to you or not, and did you do the translate thing? Because there's like built-in translation?
Yeah, but this person, what's interesting is this person is a housewife, and she's actually hooked on the game. She's already had like maybe like 10 level 50 characters, and her bard already has the animus. Version of the Zodiac weapon. So there's Atma, there's Animus, and then there's Novus. She's working on Animus to Novus right now. So she's done with the Atma grind. She's done the grind for the Animus. Now she's doing the grind for the Novus, which is probably one of the most rarest items in the game. So that's how hardcore this housewife is. And she's just... Wow. Because I was asking her, like, when we first met, I'm like, are you, you know, like, do you work? Do you have school? And because it was, like, 2 o'clock in the morning in Japan. And she's like, oh, no, she's trying to say this in the most brokenest English possible. It's like, oh, no, everything calm. Sorry if my English isn't feminine. And I'm like, I don't give a shit, like, as long as I understand you. And then she basically said, like, oh, yeah, I'm a housewife. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is what you do, and then she just streams all the time, and then I moved into her server, and now she's helping me out, and she's introducing me to her, you know, Japanese friend, so this will be an interesting experience.
So, are you still working mainly on one character, or do you have a bunch?
Yeah, I only have one. So, like, you know, Scarabray is basically my main one. Like, you know, I will always work on that character the most. But
you made, like, another character to meet this housewife?
Yeah, but dude, the grind from 1 to 50 is so fucking simple. You can do it in a month. Probably less if you cut all the cutscenes out. You know, I've already seen all the cutscenes from 1 to 15 for all the countries. So I'm pretty well aware of the storyline beats for all of them. I just need to know. At this point, it's a matter of, like, taking all the quests, doing all the hunting logs, doing all the fates, and then getting to where we want to go. So that's getting to 50 on that other character is not going to take a while. But I'm still got to fucking work on my Atma. So Anyways, Ted, there was something else that we kind of tried like a couple weeks ago, right?
I finally got my beta into PlayStation Now after like whining about it for the longest time.
Yeah.
And I went into it, and you were right, the prices of the games are a little high, but there were some free games.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, there's three free games, and one of them would be the perfect way to test responsiveness, and it's Space Ace, which is like Dragon's Lair, and that you have to press the button like quickly, and you know it makes the movement. So I picked it up, and couple things. My internet's recently been upgraded. I got my new router, so I'm 300 down, 20 up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm wired from my PS4.
Nice.
And I'm prefacing this with that because I can't tell any lag.
Nice.
I can't tell any lag. And I'm someone who is extremely sensitive to lag.
Huh. I mean,
would it be that like that with like a game like Street Fighter?
You know, it's not just like Street Fighter, but Ultra Street Fighter 4 is confirmed for PlayStation Now.
Really?
So I might put down a few bucks just to try that on PS Now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be willing to do it. I think it would be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely like one of the more significant trials, mm-hmm. I would think.
Well, they have Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and I did try that, and there is some sort of lag to it, and I want to say I have like 50 down, like 5 up, and it's still not, you know, there's lag, like I can kind of notice it, but I'm just nitpicking at that point. You know, like it's literally like in a matter of a few seconds. But overall, the gameplay is playable and the video quality is perfect, right? I mean,
yeah, I had no problems with the video quality. I mean, Space Ace, you know, the source material only goes so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very happy with my experience, and you get trophies.
Yeah,
you know? I tried it on the PlayStation 3 beta, and I'm on a 15 megabits per second down, one up kind of internet. And I played that weird little fast food game where you're like cooking hamburgers. Mm-hmm. And even in that, I noticed lag and some artifacting in the video. So maybe it's not as well optimized for PS3 at this point. But I don't know. Overall, I didn't think like it was a service I would continue to use.
I don't plan to use the service much, frankly, because of the pricing model. Mm-hmm. I own most of those games, and the ones I don't, you can buy them for cheaper than you can rent them. Like a 90-day rental is $30. At that point, I'm going to look to own.
But for it seems really dumb that they're even doing an individual game basis for the rentals. I just feel like it should be a subscription service and just leave it at that.
Well, it costs money to run those servers, but I think it's going to go where you're saying it is, Ari. I think they're going to go like Ouya.
Yeah.
Well, they got to tie it into PlayStation Plus, I think.
I think they will tie it into PlayStation Plus. For those of you not noting the reference, Ouya for $60 will give you every game they have for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, one thing of note is that Sony did kind of confirm that they are looking into subscription models for PlayStation Now. Whether or not that's tied with Plus is a completely different story. But I think as far as the subscription, the rental models go, I think they kind of have their hands tied behind their backs. I think like that's the whim of the publishers, because I think what they said was that that's actually publisher dictated.
Yeah, well, probably the publishers is. Are going to learn their lessons pretty quick when nobody buys it.
Yeah,
we'll see. I know I'm not going to be the market, but yeah. I'm not going to be super pessimistic.
No, not at all. I mean, it's still pretty. That's why it's a beta, right? I mean, it's a very costly beta. I mean, you know,
I don't think that's a valid argument. PlayStation Home is still in beta.
Yeah, it's true. Is it really? Wait, really?
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Jesus Christ!
Is anybody actually still playing that?
Maybe, I don't know.
I suppose it's one of those things that just has like that hardcore demographic that just
there are some very strange hardcore PlayStation Home people. They exist. I've seen them
on
the blog.
People still playing Second Life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say there's across. I don't know. Yeah. I think the avatars in PlayStation Home and the avatars in Second Life are equally creepy. Just that in PlayStation Home you can't urinate yourself.
Oof.
Is Home on PS4?
No.
No.
That's like Phil Harrison's baby, and look where he is now. He's at now. It's like Microsoft.
Yeah, with a brief stop at Atari, right?
Yes.
God, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Just in time to make Roller Coaster Tycoon Mobile.
Oh, man. I still haven't gotten... They still haven't gotten back to me with regards to the fall release, but they said they will give us a copy.
Okay, so here's the question. What's worse, Roller Coaster Tycoon Mobile or Dungeon Keeper?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay, at the very least, Dungeon Keeper, EA admitted that they fucked up.
Yeah, they just admitted in an interview. They didn't say it was a mistake per se, but they said they could have gone about it a different way. I don't know.
That's pretty much an admission of fault.
They screwed up the value. That was the key thing. The value was all off.
Yeah, that's an admission of fault right there, if I didn't see it. So... I also, like, totally unrelated, but, like, I guess EA also admitted, DICE specifically said, like, we don't know what Bad Company 3 actually is, so that's why we're kind of asking what Bad Company 3 is. I guess that's the reason why they didn't make a Bad Company 3. It's kind of a weird
admission. It's a strange way of looking at it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we made 2, now what? It's like...
More guns.
Yeah. So their solution was Battlefield 3.
You know what today is?
June 1st, July
1st. July 1st, 2014. You know what today was supposed to be?
What?
The day Games for Windows Live shut down.
And it's not.
No, but Age of Empires Online did, in fact, shut down.
Oh.
So maybe...
Say something about, like, not making any more Age of Empires games? Like, it's...
No, they're just going to do the old ones in HD, which is literally what they've done. And they're basically only available on Steam. Because Microsoft gave... I like what Microsoft, of all people, is like... Yeah, how did we lose this one? Sheesh.
Yeah. Although, I'm very anxious to see what CD Projekt Red is going to be doing with good old games, because they just... Didn't they announce, like, at E3 that they're going to have a client?
Yes, they did.
That's going to be exciting.
That actually makes me more interested in good old games.
I personally believe good old games is the only company that has a legitimate competitor to Steam.
I agree.
That is worthy of your... because they, from the beginning, offered something different. They generally only do classic games. They branch onto indies. They guarantee compatibility with your system. And they offer, like, all these extras.
Yeah. And they're a lot more customer friendly. Like, I heard, like, you can do refunds and stuff on that, like, a lot easier.
I don't know. I know I bought Fallout 1 from them, and they got it working, and I had problems with it before.
Wow.
So. You know what's completely bizarre? The reason I don't really shop on GOG is because I actually like the Steam DRM.
What?
Yeah, I would rather have a game on Steam with the Steam DRM than a game that's not on Steam.
That is how that is perceived value. You know, I remember a long time ago when Apple was introducing the iTunes store for music, they said, you know, this we're doing all of this better. And then the one thing they had was our songs are 99 cents. They're not free. Mm-hmm. But basically their argument was we need to compete with piracy. When you realize you need to compete with piracy and you offer something that you have to see as a viable alternative to piracy. Mm-hmm. And I think Steam is that. Steam is a viable alternative to piracy because it's very simple. It offers all kinds of added value.
Mm-hmm. It allows for impulse purchasing as well.
Yeah, and like that little mountain game that I bought like an hour ago. I totally wish that was in my Steam library, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the number one thing that people ask devs after they release a game is, when is it coming out on Steam?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's absolutely true. In fact, I think one of the concerns that Christine Love has is she can't sell her new game on Steam because it's going to be, well, pornographic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's going to affect her sales because she won't be able to sell on Steam.
Interesting.
Well, it's not, you know, pornographic per se, but if there are naked people having sex.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
And Steam, I mean, you know.
Maybe she could do like a director's cut DLC or something to get around it.
No.
That would still be, you know, against TOS.
The director's cut of that one game, Vanguard Princess, only just makes you a confirmed lowly lover. It's not.
Yes.
I like that they make it an option. It's like, well, why wouldn't you download it? So you download it without thinking, and then when someone tells you what it is, you're like, why do I like this game?
Yeah. So speaking of which, Ari, how was that Steam sale for you? And if you want to chime in, Ted, you could go ahead too.
You know, they had lots of great deals on lots of games that I've already seen great deals on and purchased already.
Mm-hmm.
So. I spent less than $10 in the entire sale.
Now, why is that?
I don't know. I mean, it could be because I've just decided that I have enough games.
I didn't have anything I wanted to buy either. I can tell you I topped out at $40, and most of that was just buying DLC for Awesome Knots.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I bought some pinball tables, and what else? Not much.
I'm going to look and see if I can. If I look at my Steam library, do I recognize anything I bought? Oh, I bought some game called Mars Warlogs.
Yeah. I mean, that was the majority of what I bought, were those few pinball tables. And I think I got one other game that was like 75 cents.
Wait, when the hell did I buy Risen 2?
Which game that was.
Dude, I own Risen 2. What?
So, I mean, is it... Like, why do you guys think that is? Like, is it just like, the games don't, like, appeal to you guys? Or do you guys have the majority of the games? I mean...
It's literally, I have majority of the games.
Well, yeah, that's for, like, the really big games that have gone on sale for 75% off in the past. But, you know, I've also been purchasing fewer indie bundles recently. Mm-hmm. Far fewer, actually. And I think just something clicked in my brain, because like my Steam library is literally 907 games right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well over two-thirds of them have not been launched even one time.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what the hell to do anymore. Huh. And I've been working on Saints Row 4 for the last, 3 weeks, right?
Right.
And that's one game out of 600 games mm-hmm. that I need to get to.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right. Enough is enough. Yes, it's on sale. Yes, it's an extremely affordable price. Yes, it's probably a good game. It's probably worth the money. My God, I have too damn many games. So, yep. Fuck.
Let's be honest. We call this show Backlog Barbecue, but it's not a joke, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ari's getting into serious trouble, and I've been over the hill for years.
Yeah.
I could quit my job and play nothing but games, and it would take me, you know, I think it would take me half a decade to play through my backlog. That's not a joke. That's not a joke, kids.
That's probably a conservative estimate. I mean,
well, I have all these RPGs.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did I do that?
And you know, there's all these games that put in their little bullet points, 80 to 100 hours of gameplay.
I hate that now.
That's like a deterrent. I don't want that game.
When I found out Portal was 2 hours, I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Well, why do you think I played through the Stanley Parable? Quick, easy, fun, done. Mm-hmm. On to the next one.
Well, I think, you know, it's different from when we were kids and stuff. I mean, I think that when we were kids, like, video games still kind of came out, but not in the same frequency as it does now. I mean, we could cite a whole bunch of companies that basically went under, disappeared, got merged into something that, you know, some other company. But the fact of the matter is, we are seeing more video games that we actually have time to consume them with.
And you know what I think it is? It's not just that, but... It could be our age. Obviously, we aren't dependent on our parents for games.
Mm-hmm.
I also have, you know, money. But what I don't have is the same time. For some reason, I guess I don't know if I had more time as a kid, but I definitely spent more time playing games than I do now, which is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the reality of it. But I really think that, you know, these are all kind of reasons why, you know, even more so than ever before, we just need to be mindful of, like, what we're spending on. Because, I mean, like, right now, like, I could buy, like, it was I discovered this problem pretty much early on, like, 5 years ago when, you know, we still were running games and me, like, you and Ted and me, just... realizing that, okay, I'm buying all these games, I'm letting people borrow them, nobody wants to borrow them, and I'm like, why is that? And it's just like, is it because no one's interested? But no, it's because nobody has fucking time, because they're working on a game right now, and then all of a sudden, like, there's like this import of games for free to play, and nobody really has time to do it. And I'm like, you know, and and that's when I kind of like just decide, okay, I'm just gonna stop fucking doing that, because guess what, like, just if I kept buying every single fucking game that comes out, I really won't have any time to play anything in the future, like, if I even wanted to. Or else, those games that are coming out in the next few months are also going to be part of that backlog. And I'm like, nope, you know. Yeah.
I wonder on what scale this is occurring. Like, how many people out there, how many gamers are going through the exact same thing that Ted and I are going through? Like, is this going to have an effect on the overall sale of, like, indie bundles? Are we going to start to see a decline in indie bundle sales? Are the Steam sales going to start being less successful for Valve? I mean, I'm just curious how this is all going to roll out. If it's just us old people that are spending way more than we need to on video games, or buying just way too many of them, or if it's just everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this game Shovel Knight came out, and I have to buy it because everybody's talking about Shovel Knight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I want Shovel Knight.
I bought it for 3DS.
Okay, yeah, we played it at IndieCade, remember?
I loved it at IndieCade. I own it. Haven't touched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just I want to play that.
If we use backloggery.com, which is kind of like a public database of people's backlogs, like in, you know, whoever uses it, right? The PC alone, their listing, has 1.2 million video games owned, meaning that is the number of games they have in their system. And that is already, that's not including the actual people who own it, which is fucking nuts. And if you want to even talk about, like, how many games are actually being done, I mean, not a lot of that's actually getting done. Like, you're getting, like, finished and whatnot. It's insane. So, I mean, there's millions of gamers that...
I'm starting to, like, think about, like, avid readers who want to read, like, every book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, it's just impossible. You can't play them all, you can't read them all, you can't watch them all for the TV shows if you're into a million TV shows. Something's got to give. I mean, I haven't seen past the first seasons of Game of Thrones. I haven't seen past the first episode.
I've seen the first episode of Game of Thrones, and I own the first three sets on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the time is
I think we have a sickness, Ted. We are actually sick.
I hit platinum status again in Club Nintendo, which that ended yesterday. So once again, I am platinum.
Nice.
Yeah. That means I buy enough Nintendo games every year to be a platinum member. I've been a platinum member for, I guess, 6 years now.
Yeah.
There is a copy of Baten Kaitos I bought 10 years ago. 10 years ago. I've never touched it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am going to take some comfort in the fact that I only spent $10 on this Steam sale and that I haven't bought an indie bundle in a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those two facts might be a sign of getting a little bit better here, and maybe I'll actually find time to play some of these games, but not if I end up playing Final Fantasy 14.
Well, you know, you'll have time. I think you will. I mean, I'm at the point right now where I can kind of... I mean, the only reason why I play the game too is because I want to make sure, like, if Ted is playing, I'm there to be able to help him out. Should he ask for help? You know, I know that Chris is not going to fucking come back to the game, unfortunately. He's dealing with his own shit. But at the very least, you know, like, I know that, you know, aside from myself, we got a healer. He's a tank. So, you know, if you join in, you'll be the fourth person in the team, so we can fucking just, you know, that'll be half of, like, an alliance. Or half of one third of an alliance. Anyways, I don't want to go back into that. You also want to talk about something else.
Yeah, there was this article on geek.com that says you'll need 165 megabits per second internet in just 6 years, according to a study.
You will have that in 6 years, though.
Mm-hmm.
But will you actually need it? Now, I'm curious, who the hell would actually need 165 megabits per second?
I have 300. How much,
right, but, I mean, who needs it?
So
we know that 4K is becoming a thing.
I'm downloading 60 gigs of porn right now.
Great.
Okay, Rachel's really mad at me now.
Next, you know, 2 to 10 years, we're going to see a big adoption of 4K TVs, which means we're eventually going to be needing 4K streaming.
Wait.
Right?
Are we? Are we going to see 4K TVs?
4K TVs have already come down in price.
You know what else came down in price, and it didn't matter, was 3D TVs.
Yeah, well, still.
So 4K is going to work where 3D TV didn't.
Who knows? I mean,
well, I guess because 3D TV, you had to have the glasses, and then maybe you didn't. Yeah, okay, I see it.
Yeah, but I mean, these things are all going to become default technologies in our homes as we replace our TVs, regardless of whether or not we choose to adopt them. So, but the question is, how much bandwidth does 4K streaming require? Is it anywhere near 165 megabits per second?
Considering,
what the hell do we need it for?
Did you know there's already a service that's doing 4K streaming?
Which one?
Netflix.
Okay. And how much bandwidth does it consume per second?
I can actually look that up. Basically, their original shows, House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, are in 4K. It's not a lot.
Oh, wow.
But what I'm looking at is Netflix. Oh, interesting. It is higher than the... Really? The minimum requirement is 15 megabits per second.
Whoa.
For 4K.
Well, that that's kind of believable, given that, you know, you can kind of tweak the bitrate down so that, you know, have a little bit more artifacting and all that stuff. I mean, believable.
Basically, if you've got a 50 megabit connection, you'll be fine.
So, but my question is then, what are we going to need 165 megabits per second for, aside from porn?
Games.
No, you don't need bandwidth for games, except to download them.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yes, it'll reduce the time it takes to download large files, but I mean...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got Wolfenstein on disk, and I popped it in just because I knew that 47 gigs, you know, that needed to get started right away because I ever felt like playing it later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Actually, I have downloaded 50 gigs because Killzone mm-hmm. is 50 gigs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
largest thing I ever downloaded was actually over 100 gigabytes. Hmm. It took about a week.
Wow, but, a week.
I remember when I got 120 gigs worth of games from the first day of PlayStation Instant Game Collection.
Mm-hmm. But,
that was a multi-day.
This is going to be for like people sharing like uncompressed files for like, you know, professional reasons, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think there's parts that are going to grow faster than other parts. Like if you have services like Dropbox, you've probably got some kind of service for online storage. In fact, if you have PlayStation Plus, you get 1 gigabyte of online storage per system you own.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've actually filled 1 gigabyte on PlayStation 3 by accident, because every time I booted up a game for the first time, they asked, do you want to do cloud storage? I kept saying yes, yes, yes. One day I checked, I had 30 megs free. And I went, uh-oh.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of uses that you can have for like 165 megabits. It's just, the thing is, with technology advancing, you know, like on the internet and that pace, you know, more kinds of technologies can emerge from that. You know, like, for example, like now, like you couldn't even imagine that a service like Netflix would even be possible when we had just like DSL or cable internet, you know, like, but right. Now it's like commonplace. It allowed for that business to thrive. So naturally, like when something like 100, you know, that much bandwidth is going to be available, there's going to be a lot more kind of, you know, like businesses that could afford, you know, to exist because of that. And that's kind of like what the most exciting part about, you know, having more bandwidth is. Now, if we can somehow decrease the latency, that'd be even better. You know, it's interesting because like the internet is experiencing something similar to what video cards are actually kind of experiencing. And this is something that John Carmack talked about. Like, we're talking about higher resolution shit, but the latency is increasing the higher the resolution we actually go, which is why he actually went to Oculus. Is like, he's trying to figure out how to crack that problem. So I think we're going to see these problems kind of like solved concurrently, like video and internet together. So should be pretty interesting the next few years.
Yeah, it's just the word need that throws me off about this article.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure what I will need it for. I'm sure I will want it.
Yeah.
But will I need it? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's your internet provider, Ari?
It's Time Warner Cable.
So, did you get your speed bump yet?
No.
You're going to get one. Oh, that's right. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting a bump to 50.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm at 15 right now, so we'll see if
I actually get that bump. Yeah, you're going to 55. I actually have the sheet of paper.
I would do a speed test, but, you know, we're recording a podcast.
Yeah, my speed tests are showing I'm not getting 300. I'm only getting 80. I'm going to have to call them. I am getting the up speed advertised.
Okay. We have a letter from Lewis. And so he writes, Dear Backlog Barbecue, when you have your 8-bit console or 16-bit console, did you guys ever got in a situation when you got a backlog? Me, unfortunately, or fortunately for saving money, I never did, since it almost took me a year just to get a new NES game. At one point, I only had four NES games for 2 years, and I couldn't afford a single game. Now I got like 10 last-gen games since 5 months ago due to having income and also the existence of clearance sales. Yeah, I had a backlog back then.
I might have. I didn't really. There was actually a game I never got the true ending on, but that's because I didn't know there was a true ending.
Mm-hmm.
I replayed games all the time. I think I replayed Final Fantasy III, as it was known back then, several times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was what we did.
I never owned more than 20 Super Nintendo games. That's truth on cartridge, which is why it's so kind of freaky for me in a weird way to go. And I went and I bought a Link to the Past on Virtual Console. And I sat there and I said, this is the first time I've actually owned this game. I never owned it as a Super Nintendo owner.
Same here.
Yeah, I don't think I ever started really developing a backlog like we know them today until maybe PlayStation 1. I mean, there's definitely games on PlayStation 1 I still, to this day, haven't played. And for every following system, more and more and more of them. But, yeah, like back in the day, we would play RPGs over and over again because there weren't that many of them. So Final Fantasy 2 and 3 or 4 and 6, if you prefer, and Chrono Trigger and Secret of Mana would be basically the majority of the gaming that I would do back then. You know, and with the, you know, the Zelda games and the Mario games too and all that. But yeah, we play them over and over again because they're really just that far before the next great game. So you must play the other one again. But it, now there's just so many games.
Gaming is like, bigger.
Not only do you not want to play a game more than once, you're not even sure you want to play the whole game once, or you're not sure if you want to do the optional content at all because, you know, there's the next thing right around the corner.
Yeah.
And there's new releases every single month. Almost every single month, there's at least a few games that are really worth playing. And it's just... Nowadays, there's just too many.
Yeah. There's no real lull anymore. There's not a gap. I mean, today, Sniper Elite 3 came out. That's kind of a big game. That was the only AAA game this week. But
and some people were even saying it was good.
You know, I got Sniper Elite 2 for free because they're giving it away on Steam for a day. I haven't touched it, but I guess that's a game where you get a bullet's eye view camera, and you can see the damage you do to a human body as the bullet passes through it.
Oh, wow.
Like, you can see, like, all the bones crack and the, like, shoot someone through the skull. And I'm like, well, this is... I can't wait.
Yeah.
To get around to that,
yeah, and in terms of games that are out like right now that I want to play, that I haven't bought yet, I want to play Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. I want to play Infamous Second Son. There's just so many, just all the time, and I'm overwhelmed. But back then, wasn't a problem.
It's almost like you need to find appointment times and appointment slots to play certain games. Like for me, like I find that. You know, like, if I want to play, like, Wolfenstein, like, I have to block a time for that game. Like, and I think that, you know, personally, like, just, you know, guys don't have to do this, but personally, actually defining times that I'm going to stream and saying, okay, you know, like, I am going to play Wolfenstein from this block to this block actually kind of forces me to be responsible. Because now I don't have to just answer to myself, I have to answer to other people because that's what they're going to expect once they pop into my stream. You know,
right?
So it's almost like this added check for me, like that I can say, like, yeah, I'm playing that game now, and you know, we can talk about it and stuff, and you know, and good shit. So to kind of close, Lewis does have a follow up question: is Ted still rich? It seems like he buys a lot of Steam games during the summer sale of 2014.
That was mostly DLC, Lewis. But if you really want to go into it, I am. Probably going to have a new car by the end of the month.
Ooh. That's something we can talk about a lot more outside of the podcast, but I'm pretty excited for you.
I have no idea what to get.
You know what's interesting, Ted? There is a possibility that this month and this month only, I might have made more money than you.
Whoa.
That actually makes me very happy to hear, because I've known you and you had some issues with, you know, jobs and this, and now it's like, you're killing me. I mean, maybe you work more hours.
Month because of all the bonus incentives for my first month at Uber.
Yeah.
Well,
they basically drove a dump truck full of money into my office.
Yes.
That's not a problem. Stone.
Nope.
Yeah. So it was a good month for me for once.
Good shit. So, all right. Well, do you guys have anything else to add before we close this episode?
I'm about to check out the brackets for Evo because they just got published. I want to see if I have any 8 a.m. matches, which is going to annoy me.
Yeah. We should talk a little bit more about, like, the festival, the fan festival in the next few days.
I might go.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make a mountain, and its name is Sickness.
All right. So if you guys have any other questions or just kind of checking on Ari's Mountain or trying to figure out whether Ted and I are going to go to like the Final Fantasy Fan Festival, you can email us at backlogbarbecue podcast as at backlogbbqpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. Again, that's backlogbbqpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. And we're also going to add some streaming schedules, right, guys? Right?
Yeah. I don't know exactly when yet, but regularly on Tuesdays, I will be streaming. I don't know what. I think I'll start off with Killer Instinct because I've been in a KI mood, especially since I need to practice up for Evo, since I am in it and I'm really hoping I'm not an 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate that slot.
I'm looking right now. Alex Valle found out he was. Oh, oh, there he is.
Oh, wow.
I teabagged him.
Yes. Well aware.
I watched the video of that. That was fantastic. Yeah. I literally teabagged him, and the whole arcade lost
it. Can you post that on the site?
I'll see. It's part of a Twitch video, but I guess I can link like specific times of a Twitch video.
That would be fun. Yeah, that will get a glimpse into your fighting game lifestyle.
Yeah, and people actually, there was a big discussion that week about me. It was like, what? Do you think this is the week Thoth is finally going to win a match, a big match? And then there was a big discussion about how nobody can pronounce my name, which is Thoth. I go by Thoth, you know, I don't go by Ted.
Yeah.
Because going by a real name is silly unless you're like cool, like Alex Vibe, who basically invented modern Street Fighter.
Yeah. Okay. And then Ari, whenever I guess I can lend you Infamous, I guess you can stream that too.
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, sweet. It'll be fun. I mean, I'll be in the stream. Don't worry. I think Ted will want to check it out too.
Yeah, I own that game. I should play it.
Yeah, or stream it. Whatever. All right. So again, check out GamerHorizon.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/GamerHorizon, and of course Facebook.com/GamerHorizon. We post a lot of our Twitch stuff on Twitch.tv/GamerHorizon, but not in the next few days, so be sure to go to GamerHorizon.com because we're going to post all that information, like how to follow us and all that stuff, and you will not miss anything if you follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I guarantee you that.
Nope. So, all right. Only gain information.
Yes, gain. So,
and do we still have our Google Voice?
Google Voice? Our Google hasn't 86'd it yet, so.
Oh my god.
Thank goodness.
Guys. What? Guys. Not only am I not in an 8 a.m. pool, I am in pool 69.
Nice.
Aw, gee. All
right. Well, don't forget voicemail 470-222-4075. Again, that's 470-222-4075. It is not toll-free, so make sure if you're calling that you can kind of, yeah, make it cheap for yourself. So until next week, we'll see you guys later. I'm going to stream some Final Fantasy. Woo!
All right. Bye.
Laters.
Bye.